Good morning. Brad is not here today. He's still sick, doing better, I understand, and Karen as well. So I'm making announcements this morning, and the only real announcement we have will be concerning 2 weeks from today. April 25 is Missions Emphasis Day. And Dr. Mark Cantrell from the Pacific Rim Missions will be our guest speaker in the morning. I believe we had a missionary from Pacific Rim Mission a year or two ago here, the Phillips family, if I remember correctly. They went to the Philippines. And so Mark Cantrell will be here for the morning service. Then there's a fellowship potluck after that in the church basement. And then on the afternoon at 1:15 that day, there'll be our quarterly business meeting. So please remember those dates and plan to participate. As far as the pastoral prayer, we have three things to mention this morning. Our person of the week is Lois Nyhus, and she tells me that she's thankful to be back in church and thankful that they survived the COVID year or more. And she's also rejoicing in the fact that she has three great-grandchildren on the way. So pray for Lois. We'll pray for her this morning. We're glad to have her back. Our missionary of the week is Eric and Galina Abdunabayev from Samara, Russia. there was a prayer letter from them that went out not long ago, I think this past week, and in that he mentioned his travels and his ministry. Apparently a year ago, last May, his wife's mother died, and they've been very busy and active in the work. Building a house, and at that process of building the house, he cut his hand on an electric saw and had to have surgery. He was in the hospital for 10 days, and still his hand is not functioning properly. He's going to have more surgery probably. Fortunately, it's his left hand. So pray for Eric and his family, and we'll remember them this morning. And then our persecuted saints of the week, I don't have a lot of details on it, but it's in Nigeria, which has suffered a lot of persecution, probably the most persecuted country as far as deaths of Christians, at least in Africa. And thing we're praying for today is the eight Christians who were kidnapped in Nigeria. The terrorists broke into their homes in the night and carried them away and in captivity. And we don't have any further details about them, but we need to pray for them and for that whole country, because it's a country that's really in a lot of, having a lot of Christian persecution from Muslims and others in the north especially. So let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We want to remember those of our congregation who are not well, and the ones we know about are Greg and Brad and Karen Leitsky, who have been suffering with fever. I believe Tim has mentioned that they're doing better today, so we're thankful for that. But Lord, we ask your continued blessing on Brad and Karen as they recover from the illness that they're going through. Pastor Kurt also has had a sore throat and not doing well, doing better today, but still didn't feel like he should be here. And we're thankful that Milo can fill in, and we ask your blessing upon him as he brings a message to us this morning. We also want to pray for Greg Lehman, who's in the hospital in Milwaukee area. We just ask your special blessing on Greg as he recovers from his illness. And Lord, be near to them and be with them as the great healer and the great physician. And we pray for Karen as well as she ministers to him and as she's with him. We just pray that this will have a good outcome, Lord, and we ask for your continued blessing and presence with them. We want to also thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning to sit under the hearing of your word, to sing these songs of praise, to be blessed by you as we fellowship together. And we ask your special blessing upon our service today and ask that it will be of help to all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One further announcement, there's no choir practice this afternoon.
Well, good morning. I hereby make a motion that if anyone else in the future is going to be leading worship and having to climb these stairs, that we put a temporary, you know, ramp here for, so it, you know, to make it easier to walk up, because boy, I'm sore. All right, so let's stand and sing, "I Run to Christ." I run to Christ when chased by fear and find a refuge sure. Believe in me, his voice I hear, his words and wounds secure. I run to Christ when torn by grief and find abundant peace. I too had tears, he gently speaks, thus joy and sorrows meet. I run to Christ when worn by life and find my refuge. Come unto me, he calls through strife, fatigue gives way to rest. I run to Christ when vexed by hell and find a mighty arm. The devil flees, the scriptures tell, he roars but cannot harm. I run to Christ when stalked by sin and find a sure escape. Deliver me, I cry to him, temptation yields to grace. I run to Christ when plagued by shame and find my one defense. I bore God's wrath, he pleads my case, my advocate and friend. Boy, what a scriptural song. I love the words. Love them. Either take your hymnals now, it's a 737, or you can sing off the screen as well. 737, "Like a River Glorious." Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way, perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care,
last of hurry, touched the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen. I pray you have that rest today. 354, or you could sing off the screen, I cannot tell. I'm sorry. Sequence is different. Oh, I'm sorry. 401, the church is one foundation. The church is one foundation. 401.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came out to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with grace and peace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord gives us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with Thee.
Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the grace that you have won for us through your Son, Jesus. And I just pray today, Lord, that we will give back to you as you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us each day. I pray this will be used to expand your kingdom in Sheboygan and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
morning. Today's scripture reading will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 7, and we will read the whole chapter. If you would please rise for the reading of God's word. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, and you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive in the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of that ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of the birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were open. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was breath of life. And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark, and the water prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Three fifty-four in your hymnals, or you can also sing off the screen, "I Cannot Tell."
I cannot tell why he, the King of Heaven, should leave the peace of all eternity. Why God himself should lay aside his splendor to leave the Father's side and come to me. But this I know, our silence filled with singing, and all our darkness fled from heaven's light. When Christ the Lord, child for me that holy night. I cannot tell why he, the joy of heaven, should give himself to suffer for my sin. Why holy God should love me in my shamefulness. Why he should die to draw my soul to him. But this I know, that Christ the Lord is risen, and praise his name, he's risen now in me. Because he lives, I'll rest in life eternal. He took my guilty heart, and I'm forever. I cannot tell when he will rule the nations, how he will claim his loved ones as his own. And who can tell the holy jubilation and all his children gathered round his throne? But this I know, all flesh will see his glory, and skies will burst as all creation sings. The sun will rise on one eternal morning when Christ the Savior of the world is Lord and King.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's been a long weekend for me. Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful that we can come before your throne with boldness because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. Father, just to know you, to understand your mystery of this grace, to be able to share these messages with others who do not know, Lord, why you want to use trembling, sinful people like us, I never figured that out. But we are so grateful that you want to use us. And Lord, as we look into your word, the many scriptures that we will go through, I would ask, Heavenly Father, that your spirit would truly be the teacher here. We pray that your spirit would illuminate our hearts and our minds to the hearing of your word. And Lord, even these truths that we have heard over and over again, Lord, may they be renewed in our hearts. I again lift up Pastor Kurt and Brad and Greg and Karen, Lord, just for what they're going through right now. We humbly ask for the comfort of your Holy Spirit on each and one of them. And Lord, we pray that you would bring them back to us quickly. So Lord, we dedicate this time to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You got your Bibles? We are going to be using them today. So be prepared. If you haven't done so already, there is a handout in the back. You're going to need one of those. We're going to be going through 12 truths or commands for the Christian walk. Last month at my daughter-in-law's mother's funeral, was able to share the gospel, and two people received Christ. And about a week later, their daughter received Christ. And all of a sudden, our evangelism group, Bible study group on Thursday night, all of a sudden became a new believers group. And this is like the third time that happened. So yes, it is definitely an amen. The Holy Spirit still moves in people's lives. Our Thursday night evangelistic group met last month. 8 out of the 9 people had a chance to share the gospel with others. One person over the internet, probably to thousands of people. People are getting fired up to share their faith. It's happening. Even though all these things are going on in the world, and possibly God has brought a judgment on the U.S., I do not know. I won't go there. But I do know that there is an elect out there that needs to hear the message. And it's up to us to do that. Also, this last week, both of my boys had a chance to share the gospel with individual men. My older son was able to share the gospel in a car with an individual all the way down to Milwaukee, and he's not sure, but this individual knew many, many people in the group Hell's Angels. So possibly he was a former member or is. We don't have a clue. But whatever it is, this individual heard about Jesus Christ. Things truly are happening. And I can't but help but wonder if the Holy Spirit is moving in a special way during these uncertain times. I know that many people got saved in 1982 and 83. I hear that over and over again, and I was one of them. And it just seems to be that the Spirit was really moving in those years, and it's possibly happening again. I don't know. But all I know is people are starting to get fired up for the gospel. If you've been blessed to lead someone to Jesus, there is no greater joy than that. There really isn't. And many times you may even have an opportunity to help them to grow in their faith. So my question is, how would you do that? How would you help them to grow in their faith? Now, I know you can go on the internet and you can, there's the navigators, there's all sorts of programs out there to help an individual learn about the gospel. There really is. But 40 years ago, when I got saved, I had an individual in my Bible study class that shared 12 truths with me. And those truths have stuck with me until today. And these 12 truths I am going over right now on my Thursday night Bible study with these three new believers and with the believers that are in the group. And they're just really overjoyed by what they've been learning. And a lot of it is repetitious, but yet a lot of the things that they're hearing, they just weren't doing. So I am just thankful. At first, I wasn't thankful when Pastor Kurt called me, but I really am now, because even while I was talking to him on the phone, these 12 truths came to my mind, and I immediately said, yes, I will take the pulpit for you. So I am privileged to be here before you right now. These 12 truths are God's word to help the foundation of Christ grow and able to withstand the pressures of this life can bring. And I'm going to, each of these truths could be a Sunday morning sermon, and they really could be. But we're going to very quickly go through them. We don't have that much time. When I see eyes starting to roll, then I know I'm done, okay? But each of these truths are going to reflect the gospel. The gospel is the means by which we walk through this life. You'll never get away from it. It's part of our life. And we live out the gospel, not only in speech and in what we and how we act, but it's what we say and do. And when every time I think of the gospel, I think of 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received from Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Folks, that's the gospel. Christ came, he suffered and died for your sins and for mine. He was punished on the cross. God the Father took out his wrath for our sins on his Son. Christ paid for those sins, died, and God gave us a guarantee, a seal of approval, that the resurrection is true and that your sins can be forgiven. What a truth that is. What a truth. So if you got the handout right now, let's start going through these truths. And a lot of these I'm going to go through quickly. We got 12 to go through. Number one is, those who belong to Christ are dead to sin. Now, I was able to preach a message on this probably about 2 years ago. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old life was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin." That is a truth that every new believer needs to know and understand, and also us older believers. What kind of attitude should we have from that? Well, verse 11 gives you the attitude. It says, "Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ." You see that word, consider? In the original Greek, that word is legazomai. It actually means to calculate, to think about, to come to a logical conclusion. You are to mull that over in your mind that, folks, you are dead to sin. Not because who we are, it's because of who Christ did and what he's done on the cross for us. We've been united with him in his death and his resurrection. When those truths hit the center of your heart, especially a new believer, life takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on a whole new meaning. And it's because of the gospel that truth is true. Look at truth number two. Don't try to live the Christian life on your own. Trust in the power of God. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Your Bibles are going to be getting a workout today. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth." That's total love. "And to know the love of Christ which surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Here's the kicker. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Wow. Trust in the power of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Did you hear that? "Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his excellence." His divine power has been granted to us life and godliness. Trust in the power of God. Well, what kind of attitude should we have as believers then? Constantly have your focus on Christ, because that's where the power is going to come from. Quickly turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You see those four things we are to do? Number one is to focus on Christ seated at the place of honor. That's where our focus should be. When we focus on Christ, when we keep our eyes on him, there isn't do's and don'ts anymore. Sin melts away from you. You are fixed on the person of Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of power. Look what else in verse 2. Focus on our position with him. Don't focus on earthly things. The things of the earth will just get you angry. The things of the earth will pull you away from Christ. Focused on him in his position where he's at the right hand of God. Verse 3. Focus on dying to self. It's not about you, folks. It's about the gospel. It's about the grace of God in your life. Living to Christ. And lastly, in verse 4, focus on Jesus coming again. Do you do that? Do you focus on Jesus coming again every single morning? Could you imagine if you did? Most people focus on their work and they can't wait to get home from work. That's what I did. Listen to what John says in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, verse 2. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we should be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. Here it is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he, Jesus, is pure. Isn't that wonderful? The more you fix on Jesus, the more this may be the day he's coming again. You automatically walk with Jesus Christ. You automatically are so fixed on him that the things in life don't matter. They just don't matter. It just melts away from you. So the attitude that we're supposed to have is to, by relying on God's power, is fix your hope on Jesus Christ daily. We start teaching these things to new believers. This is just, it revolutionizes their thinking. And sometimes we as senior believers may need a shaking up too. I don't know where you stand with that. But we can get to a point where we can get so legalistic in our thinking, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. And the love of Christ just doesn't flow. Truth number 3. Are you with me yet? Trials are given in our life to strengthen our faith. Boy, if we would remember that every time we have a trial. These are verses that you know, you probably even have memorized. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. And what's that? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our brother Greg is going through a trial right now down in Milwaukee. It's a big trial for him. But I'm sure these verses are coming to his mind. Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you have a plan. I know that something is going to be coming of this. And right away, that brings joy to your heart. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. And not only this, but we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Truth number three is trials are given to us to strengthen our faith. So what should our attitude be in a trial? Well, God's word tells us. First of all, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request may be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, choose joy rather than anxiety. It's a choice. You cast it onto the Lord, and then you believe. You have to believe his promises, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you believe his promises. You cast that. Choose joy rather than anxiety. 2 Corinthians 12:2. 12:10. Oops, I think I got the wrong one. I was in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul said that. So choose peace and contentment over frustration. If you got your papers and the verses there, write that down, because it's truth. It's a choice. You choose joy rather than anxiety. You choose peace and contentment over frustration. And then James, over in James 1:5, we read that, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, in your attitude, James chapter 1, choose prayer over confusion. When you come into trials, choose joy. When you come into trials, choose peace. When you come into trials, choose prayer. I was over at the Amish a couple days ago, and they had a sign. I walked into one of the stores, and it says, when you get so tired of standing on your feet, it says, kneel. Because that's what we need to do. Life gets tough, folks. It does. Trials are going to come. And when they get overwhelming, get on your knees. Because that's what a trial causes us to do. Truth number four. We're getting there. I got to watch the clock. Satan is real and out to destroy our peace with Christ. You believe that? Do you think, what came to my mind this morning, do you think it's coincidence that all the leaders in the church are sick? When COVID first struck, all the leaders in the church were sick. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, sure, you can just say, well, that's just coincidence. That just happens. I don't know. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual forces that we cannot see. This is one of the few Bible-believing churches that teach the Word of God. And Satan does not like it. That's just the way it is. You believe it or not, totally up to you. I can tell you stories that will make your hair stand up. And I mean it. Satan is real, and he's out to destroy your peace with Christ. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Satan is out to destroy our peace in Christ. What should be our attitude when it comes to that? We're not far. Look in 1 John, 1 John 5:4. We're just letting the scriptures speak to us this morning. 1 John 5:4. What should be our attitude knowing that he prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour? Oh, and here's another thing. Just in case, if you're uncertain about this Satan and demon stuff, start sharing your faith once. Start sharing your faith. Take a step and share with somebody, and he will make himself so real to you that you're going to know the spiritual battle that we are in. Because that's the last thing that he wants, is for you to talk about Jesus Christ. That's the truth. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 John 4:4, go back to one chapter. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." What a verse. I must have used that verse in my life a million times already. The victory is ours. Satan has been defeated. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. What kind of attitude should we have? Starting in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked." Remember that? "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedient," that's Satan. "Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Satan has no power over us as we believe the promises of God. Continue to believe the promises of God. And it's because of the gospel that we have victory over Satan. The gospel is part of our life. Let's continue. Truth number 5. God speaks to us through his word, and we speak to God through prayer. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, duh, Milo, I know that. But you would be surprised how often I get into a Bible study and somebody will struggle about having a quiet time with the Lord or having a prayer time with the Lord. Many times we know these things, but we don't do them. We may do them when times start getting tough or a child starts getting sick. Well, the truth is, God speaks to us through his word, and we speak through prayer. John 16:24, Jesus said, "Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." We teach these young people how to pray. We teach them how to pray and by the word acts. And I know many of you know that. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. to adore God for who he is, to confess your sins daily, to thank him for his forgiveness and his provisions. And then you are in that area where you are able to ask. But now, does Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Does that mean you bring out your grocery list and the new car and a new boat and a new house? According to God's word, you ask according to God's will. According to God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. If it's according to his will, God will hear that prayer and he will answer a prayer. You know what is a great prayer to pray? Pray for the salvation of a loved one. That's a great prayer to pray. A great prayer. What should be our attitude when it comes to prayer then? Pray boldly. Hebrews 4:16. We're not going to look up these verses, but I think you have them on your sheet. So next to Hebrews 4:16, write down, pray boldly. Psalm 55:4 through 8. Pray honestly. You can't hide anything from God. Psalm 55:9-11. Pray with authority, in the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, ask in my name and it will be done. He doesn't say, pray to Mary. He doesn't say, pray to one of the saints. You're hearing that a lot from different religions. Jesus is the only mediator between man and God. The only mediator. 1 John says that he is our advocate. He is our defense lawyer. He is there for us all the time. Only one mediator. Psalm 55:16-19, pray expectantly. Pray expecting that God hears you and expect that God will answer that prayer. And we can speak to God through prayer because of the gospel. Because of the gospel. Truth number six, we're halfway there. Study God's word daily. Study God's word daily. 2 Timothy 3:16. Those verses that we really should have memorized. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We should read God's word habitually. Put that down. Read God's word habitually. Rather than picking up a different book, pick up the Bible. Pick it up. You see, when we study God's word, we are going to be, you can think of the three P's. You are going to be proficient, you are going to be prepared, and you are going to be productive. Guaranteed. Guaranteed it's going to happen. We are to study God's word expectantly. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We are to study God's word expectantly in faith, believing that it's the word of God. And finally, we need to read God's word humbly. Humbly. James chapter 5, or verse chapter 4, I'm sorry, verses 5 through 10 says, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. When you come to God's word, come to it in a humble adoration, knowing that it's God-breathed. We live in a world that there is just no truth anymore. And I think you know what I mean. Aren't you grateful that we have this? And my question is, do you pick it up every day? What should be our attitude? A heartfelt gratitude and joy to trust and obey God. That should be our attitude when it comes to reading God's word. A heartfelt gratitude and a joy, knowing that what you're reading is truth. Why can we study God's word? It's because of the gospel. That's why we can. Truth number 7, let God renew your mind. Let God renew your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you should have these verses memorized. I urge you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spirit, the service of worship. But do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you will prove to be what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The best way to renew your mind is to memorize Scripture. That's the best way. We're teaching these young people right away to get into God's word and to hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Verse 11, I have treasured these things in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Do you memorize Scripture? Oh, I'm too old for that. How many times have I heard that? I had one person in our evangelism course said, you know what, Milo, I'm just too old to memorize. I said, no, you are not. You are not. And he took the bull by the horns, and last Sunday he came up to me and said, you know what, I'm really starting to get scriptures in my mind. I didn't think I was able to. This man is in his mid-70s. Here's just a few things that you could do. Read the verse 5 times with the reference number. With the reference number. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates his own love. Okay? Romans 5, 8. And then you say the verse, and then you say Romans 5, 8 again. Do that 5 times. Then write down the verse 5 times with the reference number. Because when you write it, somehow it starts connecting. Then work on Scripture at the same time of day. The same time of day. Get into a habit of doing that. And then have a competition with a friend or with your spouse. You would be surprised how the verses are going to start coming alive in your mind. It will happen. So, what's the attitude that we should have to renew our mind? Well, Philippians 4:8 tells us. First of all, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Your mind, folks, will be renewed. And why? It's because of the gospel. The gospel did it. Truth number 8, hang in there. I see some heads are starting to drip, but don't let it happen. These are truths we got to remember. God will take care of you in all circumstances. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, we're not going to read all those, and you know them very well. It's how Jesus says, look at the birds of the air and the flowers, how God takes care of them. But then we get to verse number 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that he just talked about will be added to you. That is a promise, but it's a conditional promise. He promises to meet all your needs when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's a promise from God. What kind of attitude should we have about knowing that God's going to take care of us? Trust. Trust him. Simple trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you all have it memorized, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust the Lord. How do we know that God's going to take care of us? How do we know that we can trust him? Because of the gospel. The gospel is constantly part of your life. Truth number 9, we're almost there. Trust the promises of God. There are more than 700 promises of God in Scripture. Did you know that? 700. And these promises of God are like sacks of cement. A sack of cement won't do you any good without water. Did you know that too? Unless you add water, all you got is a sack of cement. When it comes to God's promises, you got to add faith. You got to add faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have a bunch of scriptures on that sheet. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, that's a hopeful promise. That's a hopeful promise. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is a guiding promise. John 3:16 is a saving promise. Am I going too fast? 2 Corinthians 7:1 is a motivating promise. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is a lifting promise. It lifts you out of depression. Hebrews 12:6 is a warning promise. And lastly, 2 Peter 5:7 is a comforting promise. These are all promises of God that are only come to life when our faith is generated in the promise maker. That's what it's all about. What should be our attitude? Is to claim the promises of God. You see, faith helps us to become saved. And after that, we need to have faith in God's promises. So faith just never ends. It starts our journey and it continues to the end. Why can we trust the promises of God? Because of the gospel. Truth number 10. God wants all of you. He wants every part of you. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, whoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Denying yourself means that we renounce our right to ourselves, the right to rule over our own lives. We always, when it comes to sharing the gospel, we talk about making Jesus the Lord of your life. We always talk about a little throne room in your heart. Before you come to Jesus, who's sitting on the throne? You are. You're sitting on the throne of your heart. You're calling the shots in your life. You're doing what you want to do. But when you understand what Christ has done for you in your cross, and you give your life to him, you get off the throne and you put Christ on that throne. Jesus starts calling the shots in your life. Jesus wants all of you. That's what it means to deny yourself. And then he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's the idea and willingness to go all the way with Jesus. Every Sunday we pray for a persecuted saint. Could you imagine going through the persecutions of those people we pray for? I just can't imagine that. Could you imagine sitting in a dirty prison just because of your faith in Jesus? Those people saying, I will not give up my Savior. I will not do it. I pray that we never have persecution like that here, but I'm not so sure anymore. I'm not so sure. Jesus says, if you're willing to come after me, I want all of you, and I want all of you all the way. That's a true disciple of Jesus. So, what should be our attitude? Micah 6:8 is a perfect verse for that. What is required of you, O man? That you do justice, and that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have my son make me a t-shirt with that verse on. Anybody want one? Yeah. Why does God want all of you? Because of the gospel. Because of what happened at the cross. Truth number 11, be controlled by his Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Did you know that? Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. It's just the opposite. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. Hang in there, we're almost done. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law, but under grace. By the act of our will, we choose to stay close to the Holy Spirit. We choose to stay in the parameters of the Holy Spirit. And the parameters are the promise of God. It's a choice that we make. We go out of the parameters, then we are in things that do not honor God. That's the way it is. And it says, walk in the presence. You got 2 feet, right? You know what those 2 feet represent? Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. You start with Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and having faith in him. And then you continually walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by repentance and faith. When's the last time that you confessed your sins to the Lord? Oh, it was the last time we had communion. Oh, really? Well, for what I understand, we need to confess daily. I don't know about you, but I sure do. But that's how we stay in the parameters of the Holy Spirit. Confession and faith in God, and faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be controlled by the Spirit. What should be our attitude? 1 Peter tells us very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 says that, but sanctify or set aside Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that you have in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Set aside, sanctify Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts. Keep a good conscience. Why can we be controlled by the Spirit? It's because of the gospel. And lastly, truth number 12, Do everything to the glory of God. Do everything to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it actually starts in verse 31. Josiah, you didn't get that wrong, I did. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul is talking about Christian liberties there. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Do all to the glory of God. Glorifying God requires a full commitment. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, at your work, give glory to God. Psalm 119, 11, in our thoughts and in our actions, give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, in proper treatment of our bodies. It's talking about sexual immorality. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, in our relationships with each other. Always give glory to God. Always being ready and willing to forgive. Keep the unity of the body. This isn't about do's and don'ts. It's about the gospel. The gospel is not only the means by which we are saved, but is also the means by which we walk through this life. So my question to you is, does your life characterize the gospel? Does it characterize the gospel? Last verse. Acts chapter 20. Paul says it best here. I love it. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 24, it says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I went preaching to the kingdom, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Oh, oh. Can you say that? Are we innocent of the blood of all men? Did we do everything we can in order to reach people for Jesus Christ? That is an awesome thing to think about. The gospel of Christ changed our life, folks. The gospel of Christ is your life. We need to live it out, not only in what we do and how we think, but in our speech. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that we are part of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for these truths that we know over and over, that we have heard most of our life. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to live each and one of them out. Thank you for this time we could spend together. I pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, that we can live out the gospel of Christ in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, I love it when I have no idea that Milo's going to preach on a subject like this, and then we have a song that we're going to close with that speaks right to what he's talking about. What I'd like to see, it's a song called A Passion for Thee. It's 371 in our hymnals. Jill, would you mind just playing? I just want to make sure this song's familiar. Just go ahead and just play just the first verse of that song. So let's sing.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth. Turn my heart after love. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire on my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ be motive inspired. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be Thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart.
I pray that's those words and also the message we heard today is just filling your mind. Make a difference, Lord, in our life. I pray that this will be a good week for your walk with the Lord. You are dismissed.